You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray, and thank you for tuning in on Sundays. And we're having you here today. We've got some amazing entrepreneurs, startups, change agents, brand developers, authors, just amazing people on the show today. I want to give you guys an update on the Pandemic Project. We are going to be bouncing around Tribeca Film Festival next month. So look for us, mainly us. When I say us, I mean me. I'll be running around the film festival, networking with people and hoping to connect with someone and see if we can get the film sold. So that's where we are now. So far have we come on this journey. So that's what we're looking. That's what we're looking at next month for the film. We've got some updates. I think the gifting suite, we're going to aim for the fall. I'll let you guys know with the strikes and everything. I'm not sure how that's going to affect us, but stand by. With all that being said, I would like to introduce my first guest. Ronki is here. Ronki, how's it going?
It is going great. Thank you so much for having me.
A pleasure to have you, Ronki. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone and tell them exactly who you are and what you do.
So everybody, my name is Ronki Magic Odumi. I am a director of product at Promevo, a small company in Covington, Kentucky. I help to build products and tools for large enterprise, small businesses, medium-sized businesses to manage and grow their business. Thank you for having me.
Beautiful. And you know what? It is a pleasure to have you, Ronki. And I love seeing a fellow female in the game, you know, doing these things, doing so many different things. I mean, tell me how you first became interested in this niche of your business.
Oh, absolutely. So the pandemic hit and I was looking for, and I just got done with my MBA and I was looking for an opportunity. I was looking for a way to give back to the product community. I kept getting LinkedIn messages from product managers, people who want to be product managers that were of color, right? Men and women of color. And they would go, you know, come find me on LinkedIn and they would go, oh my God, you're Black and you're a product manager. And that kept bothering
me. You're like, yeah, I am. Every day I wake up.
It kept bothering me a lot. So yeah. I started to write blogs about my experience, not just as a woman of color, but as a product manager, right? And my quest, the thing that's really important to me, which is to see more people that look like me as product managers, to see more people who look like me as developers, as researchers, as marketers, because we need to build for every single community. And why that's even more important is because there's 8 billion people in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And that demographic, we're just going to keep growing as the human race. But that demographic is changing every single day. It's becoming more diverse. Yeah. And we got to go meet them where they are, right? Okay. To build products for them. They're not going to come to us. We have to go to them. So how do you build for an emerging demographic that's constantly changing? Well, you got to hire people in your team that look like them, that walk like them, that talk like them, that come from their circumstance. And so that is why I created Ronki PM. That is my website, ronkipm.com. I started writing blogs. I started to teach a product school. And I started to go to conferences to spread the word that we need more people, more diverse people in product management.
Beautiful. I love that. You really did listen to the call of the future and you saw a trend and you saw, you know, the future of what our world's going to be. And you're like, wait a minute, here's where I could help. Here's what I can offer. And I love that you're using your MBA to do that. Tell us where you went. Where did you get your MBA?
So I got my MBA from DeVry. You know, I went on the cheap side because I was paying for myself.
Okay.
From Keller School of Management. No, I'm grateful. I'm super grateful. The staff at Keller School of Management is awesome. And that's where I got my MBA from, with a concentration in marketing, because that's the other thing. As product managers, you have to be able to sell your product. You have to do it in fewer words. And so it has been a wonderful opportunity because it then led to me building my brand.
Beautiful. I love this, Ronki. So let's get down to it. Tell us something you're really passionate about these days in influencing. Maybe there's a scenario with the brand and we don't have to say their name. I know we were talking offline a little bit about how your method could your method of helping affect diversity and representation in brands. But give me, like, what are you working with these days? What is your sweet spot when it comes to this?
So right now I've been writing a lot of blogs about not just how do you innovate, right? In order to be able to innovate, you need, like I said, diverse people on your team, right? People who come from every community, right? Because especially if you're building for a global market, right? Yeah. You need people who look like me, people who are Asian, people who are South Asian. You need as many diverse people as possible on your teams in every single, I'm talking like cross-functionally, I'm talking developers, marketers, designers. And that's the other thing, like designers. I won't say, I'll just mention this. A long, long time ago, I remember working in an organization where there were no Black designers, mm-hmm. not a single one. But yet, we were building a global product. So how do you build for a small Black-owned businesses in San Jose, California, if no one on your team looks like them? Or comes from their environment or their world. So a lot of the blogs that I've been writing are about, well, number one, how do we innovate? Not mm-hmm. just one community, but every single community. How do we really get into that mindset of our customers, right? Or even our prospects? I'll give you an example. Okay. Studies show, for instance, right, that what people say and what people do are two different things. Right. People will. That's why we need behavioral scientists, right, who understand why we're doing what we're doing. And the only way to know that is to talk to your customers.
Yeah.
Right. And go visit them where they are so that you can not only build, solve the problems they're having today, but build for tomorrow as well. So I've been kind of focused on that. A lot of my blogs lately have been how to use design to drive that conversation, to change the way even you think, the people in your organization think. I've been writing about my own, also some personal experiences I've had as a woman of color in product, reflections on my journey into product. Some, not everything has gone well for me, and why I persevere every single day, no matter what the challenges. I wake up and I persevere every single day. And the reason I do that, the number one reason why I do that, is because I'm going to have that mirror test at night when I go to bed. And I want to know I did my best today. I moved the needle forward for the next generation that are coming after me. Yeah. If they cannot, if I can't shatter that glass ceiling and my generation cannot shatter that glass ceiling in my lifetime, I want to make sure there's a huge dent in it so that by the time they come along, they're going to just break it down. So every single night when I look in that mirror, I'm looking at that mirror test and I'm going, okay, how did I move the needle today? A little bit. For the people coming after me. And so that's why this journey that I'm on is so important, about preaching diverse product management, diverse in cross and diverse cross-functional teams, so that we can just build for everybody.
Beautiful. And I mean, I just love the self awareness and the self management, if you will, your strong personal constitution that you're showing. You know, you're showing up with this just a tremendous self movement. And I love that you're doing that. Where did you get that from? Have you always been this self-motivated and, forecasting? Like, where'd you get that from?
So that's just, okay. Actually, to be honest with you, it's my grandmother. My grandmother helped to raise me. I'm from Nigeria, by the way.
Yes.
My grandmother helped to raise me. My grandmother did not have a quarter of the opportunity that I have today. So there's also that legacy as well that plays on my mind constantly. Mm-hmm. Is at the end of, we all have our stories, right? And at the end of my story, at the end of it, what do I want my legacy to be? And so that's another reason why it's something that I constantly think of is, wow, this woman didn't have a quarter of what I have today. Mm-hmm. How do I make her legacy something? How do I become something and pass it on, right? And pave the way for others around me. So that's sort of where it started from. That little, we all have that thing that just gets us going. That's for me, is my grandmother, is how do I honor this woman who gave up everything for me to be who I am today? So.
Well, she is definitely in the house today. I feel her through you. And it's a pleasure to hear that. And I always just love what drives people, and just like you, my grandmother is a driving force for me as well. And I love that. So Now, you know, when we hear DEI, we hear diversity, inclusion, and equity, people get triggered sometimes because certain news platforms are using that and making it a negative thing. And I'm here to kind of, and I'm glad you're here with me to kind of dispel some of that, you know, and really it's an asset to your company. And if you do have DEI in your company in a healthy form, and there's the right amount and the right balance, you're really going to sell more products. You're going to be everywhere. We know that even just our community alone, we consume so many brands. I don't know what the percentage is. I'll have to do my numbers, but we spend money. I mean, we just do. And yeah, you could speak on that a little bit.
Sure. So, I kind of think of diversity, inclusion, and belonging as this, right? Yeah. Diversity is a fact. It's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Inclusion, that's an act. You're saying, I actually want to do something to make everybody, to bring more diverse people into my organization. Belonging is the outcome of that act, right? So what does that really mean? Well, it means, going to historical Black colleges to hire product management interns, right? Mm-hmm. And to bring them into your organization, even before they've graduated, right? Again, you're bringing that community in. Why that matters, it's about revenue at the end of the day. We have more inclusion-focused customers now. Customers are noticing who looks like them, who they talk to in the organizations that they work with and spend money at, and whether or not people look like them, walk like them, again, talk like them, understand their circumstances, right? So there's that. So if you have inclusion-focused customers, you got to show them that you are building for them, so you hire diverse people, right, to come into your organization. The other piece of this is not just recruiting. We need to think about recruiting, how we recruit, where we recruit from, and to make sure that we are balanced. But also, if there are any people of color in your organization, I'm talking like at the C-level or director manager or director VP, how do I feel like I belong when I come there? Why would I stay? If there's nobody there that looks like me, that can coach me, why would I stay? Right? Yeah. So there's also that too. So not only do you bring me in, but how do you then help me to stay? How do you help me grow my career so that you can bring in more people that look like me that will also stay? Right? And then the belonging part. I really, really strongly believe in inverse mentoring, right? Which is where you try to understand my circumstance and whether or not I feel like I belong in your organization, not just you mentoring me per se. Does that make sense? You are asking about my experience in an effort to make your organization a more diverse organization, one that it's inclusive of everybody. It's a work in progress, right? Yeah. All of this matters at the end of the day, because if it impacts your revenue, if you're building for everybody, and your inclusion-focused customers who are smarter, who are looking around and going, who looks like me in your organization? They're going to spend more money with you because John Doe in sales looks like them.
Yeah. No, I love that. You definitely have to, your brand needs to know how it shows up in the world. And how do you want to show up in the world? Do you want to grow? Do you want to be international? Do you want to just stay mom and pop? Who are you looking to appeal to? And how long do you want to be around? Because chances are, people are going to mix together at some point. I mean, you know, you can date your own and that's beautiful too. I mean, love is love, right? But something might change along the way. I think that we have to be open-minded when we're brands.
You have to build for everybody. I'm going to give you an example. So I'm from Nigeria. I grew up in Nigeria until I was 11 and I moved to the US. The way that I use my iPhone has cultural implications versus somebody that was born in the US. Who's going to know that? The designer. But why would that designer know that? Because they're studying, they're looking at my end-to-end usage of my iPhone, right? The more diverse they are, the more they also understand the other circumstances behind why I would use my iPhone, why it has a cultural implication, right? And then you can build for me.
Nice. Right. So smart. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, you guys. You get Ronki today. You get a sample of Miss Ronki. But listen, if people want to speak with you further, maybe get a consultation, perhaps hire you if you're accepting new clients or have you write for them or whatever they might want from you, Ronki, where can people find you?
Yes, please go to ronkepm.com. That's ronkepm.com. There's a contact us form there. You will find my LinkedIn profile. You will find my YouTube page. You will find my Instagram, my Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn all the time. Or ronkepm.com. That is where to find me. Thank you so much for having me today.
It's a pleasure, Ronke. We're not done talking. We're going to talk again soon. And also for the Endemic Project, I'm headed to South Africa, but I'm going to make a few stops along the continent. So I would love to pick your brain because Lagos is on my list, in my mental list anyway. So we'll have to chat. Yes. And so thank you so much for being here, Ronke. And we will be back with you guys with the next guest. And we'll see you soon, Ronke. All right. Okay, guys. My next guest is the author of Everyday Soul Dances. And we have Miss Elaine Hoem. And I hope I pronounced your last name correctly, Elaine.
Yes. Yes.
How are you today? Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you. I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here. It's a pleasure to listen to you and see how you and Ronke talked with one another and brought out the best in her. It's beautiful.
Wonderful. Thank you for being around to look at that. And I want to brag a little bit about our next guest here, Miss Elaine. She is a psychotherapist, meditation teacher, retreat leader, and a life coach. And she, just like she exemplified there, she likes to watch how people interact and come to the conclusions that they do throughout their lives, with their brands, with their journey. And it looks like she's captured some of those ideas here in Everyday Soul Dances. Congratulations on the publication of this book. It's a beautiful cover. I love the logo. I'm obsessed with the coloring and patterns, and just congratulations. How does it feel?
Thank you so much. I want to give credence to my oldest son because he's the one who designed the cover. I worked with it probably for a couple years before we got it. But once we had it, we know it's beautiful and it speaks to us inside of the book.
Wonderful.
So it's great to have the book published, and it's even greater to be here and get to talk to people out in the world about how we can live our very best soulful lives. That's what it's about. There is so much more to our story, and Ronke talked about some of that, that if we think of ourselves as limited human beings walking through our lives and it's so hard and the world is a mess and I don't have any say, we start to break down. You know, we can break down psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, for sure, physically. If that's all we know about who we are, it's easy to get lost.
Sure.
And so this book shows ways out of that.
All right.
Psychological ways and also spiritual ones, because our ordinary lives, that's the one we learn growing up, you know, how to be a good person, how to be bright, how to have a career, all of those things. But our society left out the spiritual, and our spiritual beings inside are so much greater than our ordinary ones.
Yeah.
And so when we can know who we are as spiritual beings, and that our God, Goddess, or Buddha, whomever resides within each one of us, it changes our story.
Yeah.
And then we have more resources. We have inner resources.
Yeah.
And we co-design our lives with our spiritual selves instead of getting lost in those tiny self that gets contracted. And that's what the book is about. It shows all of these ways that we can open up, look for something greater that's within us, be greater people out here.
You know what? Well put, Elaine. And I think, you know, the subtitle to this beautiful book's title, Everyday Soul Dances, A Guide to Soulful Living in the Midst of Uncertain Times. And Elaine, your inner guidance was right on time with this book, because wow, do we need this book right now? And I love...
It's so funny because I started getting the words from the book probably 20 years ago.
Oh, well.
It was also applicable then.
Yeah.
And the problems have not gone away. They've only become greater.
Yes.
So I figure this book is good for whenever somebody wants to pick it up.
Very,
speak to them.
Very, very, you're very right on that. And you know what? I think that things, like anything else, when you don't address it, they're going to keep coming to the surface and you've got to get to the root of it. And you having this, this book that you're putting out, that you've put out for the world to tap into their spiritual sources, their, I like the co-creation idea of, you know, your soul, your spirit, your God, your Buddha, your Jesus, your Allah, whatever you choose to call your source or your spiritual guide or your God, kind of helping you through with things and that being a bigger resource. Could you delve a little deeper in on those ideals? Because I really like that.
Well, it's not only helping us when we know that there is this amazing infinite energy. You know, we are a part of one creation, one divine consciousness, one universal consciousness that created everything and everyone. And no one is excluded. We are all brothers and sisters to one another. We all have the same beautiful hearts potentially. Now, what gets in the way of our knowing that is our karma. And we all came into, this is from the ancient yogic traditions way back 400 BC, way, way back. We come into a lifetime, we made an agreement to come into this specific lifetime because we had karma to undo from previous times. And for our soul's growth, all of us have a soul, all of us are moving towards greater light and greater love. And so if we can undo the karma, and we can, and we can open up to these vast, beautiful dimensions of who we are as spiritual beings, everything changes.
Yeah.
We change. We change how we treat other people. They benefit. Mm-hmm. And we come from a very relaxed and gentle space. No matter what's going on out here, you know, we learn to pay attention to what we can do and how to do it in a soulful way. And that changes the story for ourselves and for so many others.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. And I see that this is something that can be applied in the workspace, you know, because a lot of oftentimes I'm having conversations with startup entrepreneurs, just like with Ronki, and even, you know, as an author, I mean, could you share with us a little bit, some tips in case someone's looking to write a book and they're in a startup phase of their book? You said it took 2 years for this beautiful cover to be made by you and your son. So could you share a couple gems on how to apply some of that calm to publishing your own book or something?
If we just think, oh, we're out here and I'm going to be on a show or have all this work to do and I'll never get it done and my family's a mess. If that's our mindset, we're going to have lots of trouble in our work life as well.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's so much more to the story because when we calm down, we realize we have infinite support from the divine within. Then we're going to talk to people like this. And whatever's going on out here, if we can maintain that balance, then it, the energies change. You can probably just hear it in my voice.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
There's a word I love from India, and it's the ancient Indian greeting. And I'll just say it right now, because if we remember this greeting, then we're not the doer and we don't have to solve everything. We can say our deeper truth, and a lot of information comes through to us from the divine. So that's what we want to pay attention to. So the namaste greeting is namaste. I honor the place in you in which the entire universe dwells. It is a place of love, of light, of truth, and of peace. When you are in that place in you, and I am in that place in me, we are one. Namaste.
Namaste. Beautiful.
All meetings should start like that.
Yes, I love that. I felt very calm just then. I felt calm talking all day with you ladies. You guys have been great. So Elaine, you know, this book, it says, you know, you're talking about like karma and destiny in your lifetime. I really want to, if we could go a few more minutes into that. Sam, text me if the next guest pops up. If not, I'd like to continue with Miss Elaine here. But you know, when people hear the word karma, okay, thanks, Sam. People hear the word karma, they think, oh, I flipped somebody the bird on the 405 and now I got a flat tire right away. That's my karma. Or I caused something negative and the effect is something negative on me now. Is that the correct premise of karma, or are we applying the premise in the incorrect way?
Well, a law of physics says that for every action, there's an equal reaction.
Yeah.
So yes, if I flip somebody off and then I get a flat tire, I think that's pretty immediate karma.
Yeah.
Other karmas can take lifetimes to resolve, depending on what they are. So the simple message is to be very conscious how we live our lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in doing that, we potentially resolve a lot of karma from the past, you know, where maybe we weren't such a good person, but we also create good karma in the present for ourselves and our people, and it carries over into the next life. So karma is a big concept.
Yeah.
And it creates who we are as human beings, but we're here to figure out how to get rid of some of that. And we can, and we do. And the book is filled with examples of ways to practice doing things differently.
I'm excited to finish this. I mean, you've got some great reviews here from Dr. Patty Davin. I mean, you've got some, you know, listen, guys, we got to get you, you know, you got to get some of this in your world. If you're a startup, if you're looking to write your book, if you're just, you know, writing the chapters, sometimes you write the chapters first and fill in after. However you're going about your method, adding some soulfulness, some thoughtfulness, some mindfulness, some spirituality to your work practices, I think will help with your stress. You might drink a little less coffee. You might sleep a little better. You might not flip people the bird on the 405 as much. And you might just get done with your project and be more successful. And I'm so delighted, Elaine, we'll have to have you back and give you, you know, maybe have to give you a whole show one day here. It looks like we could probably fill the show up with more ideas.
I can talk about so many aspects of this. I'll just say one thing very quickly, Monique.
Sure.
At the end of each chapter is a contemplation. So like two, three, maybe as many as five questions about how did this chapter on self-love or love of the other, how does it apply to your life personally? And so the book invites the reader to make it personal.
Yeah.
And then there are 9 meditations that I recorded and there are a few QR code in there. And so the recordings take us into meditation. And if we had more time, I would do a meditation, but I think we're out of time.
Yes, we will have you back. But what she's speaking of, you know, are the key, which is so smart to integrate technology in your book this way and go, oh, you need to stop and reflect on that, scan it, and let's have the meditation. Genius work, Elaine. You did that. You and your son are. But I'm, you know what, even the intricacy of the logo, this is almost like the lotus, right? Because I was just in Bali and it feels like it's a lotus flower, is it not?
My other son was the one that helped me with the QR codes and the meditation. So
you've got some smart kids over there. Well done. Well played. I love it. Well, we'll definitely make more time and space to have you back, Elaine. You're definitely an asset to the show and an asset to my day and my journey. Thank you for taking time out on your Sunday to be with us here on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you so much.
Namaste. Okay, guys. And you could pick up Elaine's book on Amazon. Just type in Everyday Soul Dances. And I guess my other guest isn't here. It is Sunday. If you guys want to grab her book, you can actually get it on her website if you want to scan that QR code. I love when people have their stuff right on hand. There it is. All right, as usual, what will you start up today? See you next week.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.